Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I love New York. New York's one of those, just a high energy. Everybody moves all the time. I think I've always been a fast walker, but New York, everybody walks fast. Everybody's on mission. Everybody doesn't want to waste time. They just want to get the most out of life. One of the things about New York is like crosswalks. Nobody waits for the light. If there's no cars, you just go. And nobody waits to get to the crosswalk. If there's like space, you just cross the street and go. And so when I live there, that's where you just go. And you can always tell who the visitors are because they're waiting for the light to change. And all the New Yorkers come and just, can you get out of the way? Excuse me, please. Just go right past them, you know? And so this past year, they actually passed a law in New York City. They said, from now on, walk wherever you want, whenever you want. There's no... It's no longer against the law to walk when the light is red or green or if they're not in the crosswalk or not. They just passed the law and said, no more. Just go when you want to go. You just help these New Yorkers to, you know, make the most of their time. We'll see if that helps in terms of like number. In New York, in the past 5 years, there have been 200 people who have been pedestrians killed by cars. And so we'll see when they get the numbers for this for 2025 if that's gone up or down. You know, if that's helped or not. But we're in this series called Unstoppable, and you have the Unstoppable New York City pedestrian. They just go whenever. And so we want to be like New York City pedestrians when it comes to being a church. And I just believe there's a stir going on here in Taiwan that people are opening up to the gospel of Jesus, and the church is growing. I think there's just we're in a time when there's just an openness to the gospel. And so we're in this series called Unstoppable, and God's that refers to God's command to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, go into all the world and make disciples. And we feel like we're in a time where there's just a grace of God on us and on not just our church, but we just feel like in Taiwan in general, there's a grace of God on Taiwan for people to follow Jesus and to become disciples. And we're just saying, God, we just want to join in with what you're doing, because it's not our plan. And it's not our mission. It's not who we are. It's just us saying, God, we want to be obedient to what you want. This church belongs to you, and we just want to do what you've got. And I love this. We were looking back over this past year, 2025, and seeing the number of lives that have radically changed. People saying, you know, this is probably the year of my greatest growth in God. And it was a year when I was out of Taiwan a lot as a church. We didn't do a whole lot of events. And none of them said, well, you know, I had this event that, you know, where I encountered God. They all were saying, you know, I got involved in relationships. I got involved in a connect group. And just that weekly, just talking with people and applying the Bible to our lives together has just radically transformed my life. And because that's God's plan. Go into all the world, make disciples. And become the fishers of men yourself. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about fishing for men. That second part, that if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll become a fisherman. What does that look like to become a fisher of men? So we're in the sermon series called Unstoppable. And today we're talking about the unstoppable good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus, which is what we call the gospel, is unstoppable. It's been going around the world, and it's going to keep going around the world. You know, it's interesting how right now, I mean, we're in prayer for the Middle East and the war that's going on there. But you know, the places where the gospel is going for the fastest is in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And actually, Iran in particular, in the past few years, has seen an explosion of people coming to Christ.
Yeah.
Our outreaches there, our churches there are just growing in the Middle East. People are just coming to Christ. And we just feel like what's happening now is something that God will use to open more doors. And that's our prayer. And would you just join me for a moment? We're just going to pray. Father, we're praying, Lord, for the Middle East. And Lord, all the lives, God, our hearts mourn with the death and destruction. God, and we cry out to you for salvation, Lord God. We cry out to you for salvations. God, we're praying that in the midst of the death and destruction, Lord, your spirit will come. Your people will rise up. Lord, you love to come in where there is darkness and where there's confusion and to bring light. And God, we're praying for the light and the gospel to go forth. May believers rise up, Lord God, in the midst of the war, God, and preach love and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Lord, we're so thankful that your good news overcomes all bad news. That the same power that raised Jesus from death, from being beaten and crucified, from being in the grave for 3 days, that same resurrection power is, Lord God, resident in us. And we're praying, Lord, that would, Lord, be poured out in the Middle East in the midst of the war. And God, we're also praying that we'd be poured out here in Taiwan through our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. War is horrible and it brings death and destruction, but there's also always opportunity for the gospel because God loves to turn sickness into moments of healing. He loves to turn death into moments of resurrection. He loves to turn brokenness into wholeness. And he loves to come into our lives in the moment, in the tough moments of our lives, in the devastated moments of our lives. God loves to come and bring encouragement and strength. This past week, my wife and I, we had an annual checkup. We did our colonoscopies. I don't know if that's too much information. Sorry, love. So we did that. So, of course, it's always a challenge for when we go to the hospital because we don't speak Chinese and we're trying to, you know, negotiate, tell them, get all this stuff done. But there's this gentleman sitting next to us. And you can tell he's like a really artsy guy, older gentleman, you know, dressed like an artist. You know, they're just, they look. And you always try to wonder with guys like that, is he like a cool artist or is he like a weird artist, right? and so we're sitting next to him and, you know, and then he recognized that we don't speak Chinese, and so he just reached out and said, "Hey, are you Japanese?" And I said, "No, actually, I'm Chinese, but I'm American." He says, "Oh," he just didn't talk about that. "I've been in America a lot, and his English was really good." He says, "I travel the world. I'm an artist. I have a museum, and I just want to say you look very." He's like, "You look so different. You know, your look is very unique. You don't look Chinese." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, I think he was trying to butter me up so he could invite me to his museum. So he's got this museum in Suwao. Anybody been to Suwao down south? It's a beautiful area. It's got hot springs and cold springs. It's the only cold springs in Taiwan. Actually, it says only one of three places in the world that have this kind of cold springs. One in the Middle East, not Middle East, but the Mediterranean. Here and then one other place. I don't like cold springs, I like hot springs. But but anyway, he gave me this card and said, "Hey, I've got this museum. We have a T-Rex, a skeleton there, a T-Rex. We have all these interesting things that I've gathered from around the world. Best museum in Taiwan. You should please come and visit." And I think I have a picture of the museum. Did we get the museum slide up? Robert Y. There we go.
Robert Y.
Have you been to Robert Y? Anybody been to Robert Y? Anybody here? No. You're missing out. Swallow's best. I love that he's got a T-Rex and stuff. And so we're talking, you know, and I'm still trying to figure out, like, you know, is this, you know, is he cool or weird? But this conversation, and then as he's leaving, he says, "Hey, it was really great meeting you. You know, be blessed." And so he's upset. And I'm like, how come he was so bold in sharing and inviting me to his museum? And I'm so timid in inviting him to meet the God who made the T-Rex in my church, you know, come to church. And so I got convicted because I'm preaching on being bold this Sunday. So of course I get very convicted. And so I sent him a little text message to say, "Hey, you know, thank you for inviting me. I was really blessed to meet you as well. And anytime you're in Taipei, I'd love for you to come and visit my church, you know." And so we'll see. But you know, we have these, for some reason, we have the world's greatest good news. Yeah. That affects our eternity. That applies to every part of our life. That the God of the universe came, died for us, and wants to save us, but also to come into our lives and walk this earth with us and bring us into the life that we were created for. And yet we have, I don't know about you, but we have such a hard time sharing that. I find so many reasons not to be bold or share what God has done, what Jesus, the good news about what Jesus has done in my life. And there's fears that just so easily come in, insecurities, a fear of rejection, you know, fear of people not liking me, fear of having a bad reputation, fear of failure. Like, what if I share the gospel and they don't receive it, you know, and I'm the pastor and they didn't receive my sharing, you know? And so all these lies that come into our minds, these fears that so easily grip us, and sometimes it's just lack of motivation. It's not essentially fear, but I'm not so excited about what God's done for me. I'd much rather talk about, you know, the weather or the war or the latest cool restaurant that I went to or whatever it might be, my latest hobby. And so in casual conversation, Jesus just doesn't, I don't talk about the good news about Jesus, because I think other good news is more prevalent in my mind, my consciousness. Sometimes I'm just distracted by stuff. So there's fear, lack of motivation, distractions, other things that capture my conversations. And I wonder how can I become more unstoppable in sharing the good news about Jesus? And how did that happen? So we're going to look in we're continuing our series in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at the book of Acts chapter 3 and 4 and just say, how does God transform our lives and change us and make us into an unstoppable sharers of the good news about Jesus? Because they shared the good news about Jesus through all kinds of opposition. They shared it with so much passion that it has reverberated through the generations till now, 2,000 years later, people all around the world continue to share the good news about Jesus. Here in Taiwan, in the Middle East, in Africa, every part of the world, people are continuing to share the good news about Jesus. And we want to be a church like that, because that's God's intention. That's what the Church of Jesus looks like. And I don't know about you, but I know we can grow in this. I can grow in this. And so we're going to talk about sharing the good news about Jesus. And we've chosen a traffic light as our symbol of this series. Green light meaning sometimes it's easy and you go ahead with advancing the God's kingdom, or you have a green light opportunities to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus. It's very simple. You're open doors. You got a green light. Sometimes it's a yellow light. Not sure. You know, should I share? Is this a good opportunity? And sometimes it's a red light. Like, people are definitely in opposition and rejection. They don't want to hear. They don't want you to share. And as we look through today in Acts chapter 3 and 4, we're going to see how they shared the gospel and were bold in green light opportunities, but also in red light opportunities. All right? So, amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. Here we go. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's a great clue right there, is that they had regular times of prayer. Because it's prayer is where we begin to hear God, and as we open our hearts to hearing God, we begin to see more of the opportunities that are around us for the gospel. And a lame man from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Beautiful Gate was this gate. It was bronze and gold. It was huge. It was bigger than all the other gates into the temple. It was the main gate for people coming in. And so this man who was lame, couldn't walk, his friends would daily just bring him there as in a place to beg for food, beg for money, and at the gate, Beautiful, because that's where the wealthy would come, the people of status going to church, going to the temple would pass by there. Verse 3, seeing Peter and John go about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so we have this amazing moment. The Bible goes on to say how he stood up. 40 years old, had never walked. And all of a sudden, strength came into his legs. He stood up for the very first time, was able to walk. And people who were lame and had those kinds of disabilities in their bodies were actually not allowed to come into the temple. So for him, it was the first time to ever be able to go into the temple. And it was, and people, because it's 40 years, every day he had been at the temple, people recognized him as a guy who'd been there. And it just, it went viral in those days. Nobody got on their phones, but everybody started using, gossip. and just saying, man, did you hear about that guy? He's walking. He's inside the temple. He's praising God. There's a miracle. And so this word of this miracle went forward. And so here's how we see, here's how Peter and John recognized that moment, right? Next slide, it says, here's how we bring others to Jesus in these green light moments. Number one, we just engage with people. We just meet people. We connect with them. So as they're going into the temple, they've been going every day at the hour of prayer, and they probably walked by him numerous times. But all of a sudden now there's an engagement. He looks at them, he sees them, he's asking them, like, I'm going to ask them for alms. I'm going to cry out to these guys because I feel a connection. Mm-hmm. And so do people feel like you're open to connection? Do you put on a friendly face sometimes? Are you open to connecting with people who are strangers? Because a lot of times it starts there. Just being willing to say hi to someone that you haven't before, or to be a little more friendly to someone. And so let's just practice, turn to your neighbor and be a little friendly towards them. Just give them your that's good, see? Wasn't too bad, right? A little painful, but It just starts with engaging with people. Jesus came to earth and he said he'll leave 99 people who are in the church and he'll go after the one who's outside. Jesus said, I want to go to the outcast. I want to go to the lost. And if we have the heart of Jesus, we'll always want to reach out to new people. Yeah. That's the heart of Jesus. And so if we're followers of Jesus, that should be our heart. And it's so easy to come to church for us. It's all about me, and am I being fed, and is it meeting my needs? Mm-hmm. But Jesus said it's really to learn to follow him. And if we're learning to follow him, then we'll want to reach out. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you, let's be a church that reaches out. That has that heart to look for new people, and to bring others, to engage with people. Second thing, he recognized their need. So that one was pretty easy to recognize the guy's need. He can't walk, right? And he's asking for alms, right? And there's a part of just addressing and acknowledging people's needs. And that's not easy. It does take time, and it takes a little bit of boldness. So here the guy is reaching out to Peter and John and saying, hey, I need money. Yeah. And so he's already taken the first step. This is like a huge green light. Mm. Like, hey, here's someone with a need who's reaching out to you. Mm. How much easier, right? It's like Robert Y saying, hey, nice to meet you. And it's been a blessing meeting you. And you look really special. I got a T-Rex skeleton. Now afterwards, I'm like, I should have told him, come meet the God who made the T-Rex. Really, I'm so smart afterwards. But well, that's the way so much of our evangelism is like that. But what we want to do is just become, we just have to practice becoming more bold. Just prepare ahead of time and just be meditating and saying, okay, God, give me an opportunity to share, to recognize someone's need, and then use that need as an opportunity to point them to Jesus. Right? So that's how that's what you do in a green light moment. And this was like a flashing green light, like go, go, go. And all of us have those moments where it's just, we know, someone says, man, my friend got cancer, I got, and financial difficulties. I just feel depressed. So many conversations like that. I'm just struggling. Broke up with my boyfriend or girlfriend. I'm having trouble finding friends. We're an expat congregation. People are lonely. I just feel lonely here in Taiwan. There's so many of those are just green lights, huge green lights saying, here's an opportunity. And you're saying, Jesus has good news for all of them. If they're sick, the good news is Jesus heals. If they're lonely, the good news is Jesus wants to bring them into his family. Right? Whatever the brokenness is, a broken heart, Jesus heals broken hearts. Don't have money, God is a provider. So Jesus is good news, but we have to keep that at the forefront. And when we see the need, connect them to. So he said, you know, I don't have silver and gold, but let me tell you what I do have. And Jesus wants to help you walk. And so just being willing to pray for people when there's sickness or illness, the need in their life, that's powerful, right? Yeah. And we're gonna learn as a church to pray for each other, to reach out to others. Acts chapter 3, and when Peter saw it, so here's what happened after he got healed, right? Just massive crowds of people just talking and saying, let's go see. That guy who used to be outside, he's healed. It's like a miracle. So people are just gathering around and they want to see this miracle that's taking place. And so when Peter saw it, he saw the crowd, he said immediately, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though we, by our own power or piety, we have made him walk? And so Peter's one of those, he's like a natural evangelist, right? He's just going to go. He doesn't need an invitation. He's just going to jump in. There's a few that are natural evangelists. Out of Jesus' 12, Peter was the natural evangelist. He was the one who would stand up. When there was a crowd, he was going to stand up and preach at them. When there was an invitation from Jesus, he's going to step into it. Anybody here, do we have any natural evangelists here? There you go. Yeah, all right. If they won't raise their hand, just point them out. Just say, yeah, there's a natural evangelist. You know, we should have at least one out of 12, right? It should be here. Pat's last Sunday here. And he's like, when we're talking about him going back to Manila, he's like, yeah, I think I should go back to Manila so I can share Jesus with my friends, invite them to church, you know. Come on, evangelist. It's on his heart, right? That's it. That's the heart of an evangelist. That's the heart of Jesus. Dean, who invited Pat to church, and several other guys, right? He's just a natural evangelist. And there's natural evangelists. We'll pray for more natural evangelists. But even if you're not a natural evangelist, we're all called to preach the gospel. But it takes a level of boldness, even in a green light moment. Yeah. It takes a level of boldness. Mm. You might not have the boldness of Peter, but you'll have the boldness in the people that God calls you to. As Peter gets up, he's key thing here, he says, you know, it's not our power. It's not our righteousness that's done this. Not my piety. It's not because I've done everything right. And sometimes we think, oh, well, I can't pray for something to get healed because I haven't really been walking in the power of God, or I haven't really been following Jesus. And this week I kind of messed up, you know, didn't read my Bible, or, you know, I overslept, you know, I looked at some stuff I shouldn't be looking at, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's not about your piety.
Yeah.
It's not about your power.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about your willingness to trust Jesus and to love people enough. Be bold enough to just connect them to the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Peter says. Mm. It's not about me. I'm not here to, you know, it's not about me gaining popularity for myself. It's about how much Jesus loves them and that you can trust Jesus to help meet your need. And that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to trust Jesus to meet people's needs when people share their needs with us. The next verse, in verse 16, it says, and his name, Jesus' name, by faith in Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man his perfect health in the presence of you all. So the good news is just pointing people back to Jesus. Who he is, his love, his power, his goodness. And that's what preaching the good news is just sharing with people who Jesus is and what he's done, and that they can trust him. See, faith is simply trusting Jesus. And the Bible says that everything hinges on faith, our ability to trust Jesus. Preaching the good news, we just have to trust Jesus. Peter had to trust that Jesus would heal that man. We have to trust that Jesus will meet their needs. And the reason why we talk about the good news about Jesus and tell people the good things that Jesus has done and the good things that Jesus will do is to build faith in them. That's why we preach the good news. That's why the gospel just means good news. And the reason why we tell people the good news about Jesus is we want them to be able to trust Jesus. But in order for them to do that, they have to hear the good news, the good things that Jesus has done. And so, as we preach the good news, we'll find open hearts. Mm-hmm. It says here in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 says, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed. It's funny how the religious people were greatly annoyed that they were preaching the good news about Jesus. We would think that they would be the ones who love that you're sharing about Jesus, but they were greatly annoyed. And anytime that you, even in a green light moment, where it's very obvious the goodness of Jesus, is very obvious, they got the guy right there, right? Who after 4 years of being lame, he's walking. Like, that seems like a very obvious thing that Jesus is good. This is a good thing. But some people are still going to be annoyed at that. That's how it's going to be. Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody. So instead of them celebrating the good news of, wow, that guy got healed, let's arrest these guys and put them in jail. And sometimes, even in green light moments, you might find opposition. Put them in custody till the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So 5,000 believed, and a few got annoyed. But I'll tell you, if Peter had not gotten up and preached the gospel at all, the religious people wouldn't have got annoyed, but neither would anybody have gotten saved. Nobody would have believed. They would just say, wow, that's wonderful that a good thing happened. But believing in Jesus requires us to share the good news about Jesus. And if we don't take that shot, I mean, we may not get 5,000 saved every time. Sometimes I get fewer than that. but we won't get anybody saved. You know, a few weeks ago we went and played some golf. And there's a maxim, like what they call a rule of thumb in golf. And when you're putting, you know, and you're on the green, you're trying to get to put the ball in the hole there, and you're putting. One of the things people always say is, now putt firm, you know, hit the ball till it gets to the hole. Because 100% of putts that are too short don't go in the hole. So if you hit it too soft, 100% of the time, if you wimp out, you're going to miss. You're going to go short. And the same thing, you know, you play basketball, 100% of the shots you don't take are not going to score. But if you take the shot, you might miss 9 out of 10, but you might make one. Yeah. And if you preach, a lot of people might be annoyed, but some might get saved.
Yeah. Good.
And it's those ones getting saved that we're going for. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, we have to take the shot. We have to put out the invitation. We have, you know, as a church, we rarely do like evangelistic events, things to just bring non-Christians to. I love that we have people that are doing things that reach non-Christians. You know, we have, you know, guys in SALT who are doing like social community services to help preach the gospel. We have like Lewis who wants to do running and sports stuff to help preach the gospel. Dan and Ash are playing basketball to preach the gospel. You know, I love that those things are going on. As a church, one of the main things we do is we have the Easter service coming up next month. And we're going to make that a time to bring non-Christians. And so we're encouraging you have a whole month to just gear yourself up, like get ready for it. This is a green light event. In the West, it's the most attended Sunday of the year. People who normally don't ever go to church will go to church on Easter because they feel obligated, you know, and they want to see eggs or an Easter egg hunt. So we'll have an Easter egg hunt. You know, just excuses to invite people. So I encourage you in these next month, just start gearing up and say, God, show me the green lights. And give me the boldness to take a shot when the opportunity presents itself. To just take advantage of each one and go for it, take a shot, and hopefully one of them will hit. And some people will be annoyed, but some people might get saved. But no one that you don't invite will come. But some that you invite might.
Yeah.
And so I encourage you, already start thinking about your workers, coworkers, friends, people that you say, that's the one I want to invite. And now's the time to start renewing that friendship. you might think, oh, there's someone, you know, this in, they're in depression, they've really had a struggle, a hard year. I'm going to reach out to them. Start off with, you know, take them out to eat, coffee, a phone call, something like that, and then just build towards that, and then look for the opportunity to invite them to church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are we good? All right. So, so we go. This is that was the green light moment, and it was so green that they ended up in prison. It was great, praise God, and annoying a bunch of people. Because then it went from a green light opportunity to share the gospel is, that seemed very easy to preach to a lot. They went to a red light moment where it was total opposition. People saying, stop, don't share the gospel. And so in chapter 4, we go to verse 7, and it says, when they had set them in the midst, so after they spent the night in prison, then they brought them out in the morning and say, okay, you know, now we want to answer for all this mess you guys are causing, kind of a thing. And they said, by what power or by what name do you do this? Then Peter, always the guy who speaks up, even in a red light, like, you know, I'm against you doing this, Peter's going to speak up. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, a good deed. See, he's sharing the good news about Jesus. Let me tell you the good news of what Jesus has done. And it says, let it be known to you, verse 10, to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. So the gospel is good news. It's always just saying, what is a good, what good things has Jesus done? And to them, it's very simple. Peter's like, this guy, was lame for 40 years. You guys know he was always outside the front. You probably tried to shoo him out of the way sometimes, you know. The reason why he's standing today and walking today is because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the goodness about Jesus. He heals lame people, makes them walk. And see, so what we need to do is, what is the good news of Jesus that we've experienced in our lives? And then meditate on those things and be ready to share the good things. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes some thought on my part to think, what are the good things? Because it's so easy to forget. And it's so easy to start thinking about other things. And so we need to stir that up and say, God, what, remind me, Jesus. That's why David said, I'm going to declare your goodness. I'm going to sing aloud about you at night. I'm going to declare your goodness to the nations. I'm going to let everybody know your praises about you and the good things you've done are going to be constantly in my mouth. I'm going to be talking about you all the time, God, and the good things you've done. And God puts that in the Bible for us to stir us up and to, we too need to meditate on the good things that Jesus has done. And this is a great time to start doing that. Start meditating. What are the good things that Jesus has done? And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But Paul told Timothy, you got to stir up the power of the Holy Spirit in you. He told the Ephesians, hey, keep filling yourself up with the power of the Holy Spirit by worship, by reading the word, by fellowship. These are things that stir up the power of the Holy Spirit inside us. So when moments come, especially a red light moment, when it's a stoplight moment, we need more of the power of the Holy Spirit. But we do that by stirring that up inside of us. So we need the gospel, the good news, and we need the power and the name of Jesus. We need to be constantly ready to speak the name of Jesus to people and say, let me tell you the good news about Jesus. I remember my friend when he was at this like AI conference, guys were all talking about AI, and his friend next to him was saying, man, you're going to be out of a job as a preacher. AI is going to take over. It's going to produce better sermons than you, you know, kind of thing. And he said, and so he just took an opportunity and said, I don't think you really understand what I do. And the guy's like, oh, so what do you do? And our friend's response was, have you heard the good news about Jesus? And just start sharing the good things that Jesus had done that AI is not going to do. You know, so this is what we do. But see, everything is an opportunity. If we're ready, all these different things, you know, conversations about AI become opportunities to share the good news about Jesus. and prepare ourselves for those moments. Chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you,'" you guys are telling us to stop preaching. You must judge, rather than God, "for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." I don't know about you, but so often I don't speak about what I've seen and heard Jesus doing in my life. But Peter and John are saying, we can't even help ourselves. That's always so much at the forefront of our thinking. And like David, my mouth is constantly filled with the good news about Jesus and what he's done. I want to talk about what I've seen and heard. And we need to stir that up inside of us. We choose the truths that we want to talk about. We choose what we want to trust in. Do we trust in our good luck? Do we trust in our hard work? Do we trust in our wisdom and our strategy? Or do we trust in Jesus? Do we attribute the successes that we've had to ourselves or to Jesus? The Bible says we should learn to be thankful people, that we should give God thanks in everything. So whatever happens in our lives, we should be learning to give God thanks. And as we learn to thank God for every good thing that happens, then it naturally becomes us sharing the good news about what Jesus has done, because we recognize that it's Jesus that's done it. And that's why we encourage us, let's create an atmosphere and a habit of gratitude in our lives, a habit of thanksgiving. We have to choose to do that. We have to break the silence. We have to let thanksgiving fill our mouths. Because most of us are, at least I know myself, that's not my normal. I have to consciously stir myself to do that and push myself to do that. So we ask ourselves, what good news about Jesus have you seen or heard? Peter said, we can't help but share the good things of what we've seen and heard. And we have to remind ourselves, what are the good things that we've seen and heard? And you may already be trembling in fear, thinking, okay, he's going to tell us to go turn to our neighbor and tell him one of the good things. And yes, that's what we're going to do. Take a moment. Because if you can't share here amongst in church where we talk about Jesus, if we can't share the good things that Jesus has done in our lives with someone here, it's going to be a lot harder to share it out there. So this is just practice getting ready for Easter and getting ready to share the good news. Just think of what's something good that Jesus has done in my life. Remind myself and then share it. Turn to someone and share it with them. And if you can't think of something, ask the other person to go first. And then that might stir something. Oh yeah, Jesus did that for me too. And it can be something very general, like life and provision and health and friendships and a great church. Or it could be, something that's very specific. Man, I had a breakthrough at work. Whatever it might be. But just take a moment here. Turn to someone next to you and just share something. What is something good that Jesus has done in your life? Okay. You can carry on afterwards. Chapter 4, verse 23 says, "When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them." I think it's interesting, we come to these moments where we face opposition, intimidation, feel insecure, feel fear, it's tough to share. Then we go find our friends. I love how they found their friends. And do you have a go-to friend? Someone who is going to encourage you. We need a wingman who's going to go with us, right? When a guy wants to go after girls, I need a wingman. I'm going to go to the club now. But maybe that's a bad, is that not a good church illustration? It's okay. Jesus, I think he would have gotten the clubs. That's probably not a good illustration either. But here we go. Jesus went where sinners were and where there's opposition. And when you're going to go to a place where sinners are and there's opposition and you feel insecure, don't just pull back. Get a friend who's going to pray with you, encourage you, go with you. Mm-hmm. So find who's that friend, right? And sometimes you just got to ask. Get in your connect group and say, hey, so who shall we go target for Easter? Let's go take him to lunch. Or let's go invite him to go, watch a game together or something. Whatever it might be to build that bridge, right? You start to there's a power in doing it together, right? Yeah. Go get your wingman. Jesus sent them two by two for a reason. Last passage here, chapter verse 29, says, and now, Lord, they're starting to pray. So they're praying now. The friends get together, they're going to pray. And that's such a key to everything we do, is that prayer. And it's not just praying ourselves, but it's come together and praying together. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We speak with boldness. Jesus, God stretches out his hand to heal. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's a true sign of being filled with the Spirit, right? It's not just speaking in tongues or prophesying, but it's speaking the good news about Jesus with boldness. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. It's not just so we can show off some spiritual gifts or feel good in a meeting, but it's so that we can share the good news with boldness. But we have to give opportunities for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives by stepping into those moments with boldness. I was in Hawaii and I was preaching a similar message to this, but about Abraham and how Abraham stepped out in faith, and that's why he's the father of our faith. And he just, you know, abandoned, like, even to the point of like sacrificing his own son. He's like, whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to just be 100% obedient to God. Leave my family, sacrifice my son, whatever it might be. I'm going to go for it. And after I was preaching, this woman came up to me. I think I have a picture of her here. She came up to me, Anna, and she's like, I'm 76 years old. And she was just visiting that Sunday from out of state, and her friends brought it to the church. And she's like, what you just preached, I've been living that these last 24 months. I'm 76 years old, but at 74, the doctors gave me a diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis. And they said, you only have months to live. And in that moment, I just decided, you know, all these things, I've been a Christian all my life. I'm going to quit holding back. I'm going to quit giving in to fear and distraction and so many other things. And she said, these last 24 months, I've lived what you preached. I've just gone for it every moment that I could, stepped out, and so many lives have been transformed. I've seen God do so many miracles through my life. I regret the first 74 years of my life that I didn't go for it. But these last 24 months have been just amazing. And she says, I just want to come up here and encourage you. What you said is true. And I'm a living testimony of it these last 24 months. And that was so encouraging for me. You know, like, well, that's awesome. I got to go get better at that. Let's go out and be bold, you know. And that's, I want to encourage you. Don't wait until you get a cancer diagnosis. Don't wait until you're saying you only got a few months left. Start now. Don't go to the end of your life and say, oh, I wish I had done that sooner, earlier in my life. And so let's pray for each other for boldness. You know, that there's that country song, live like you're dying. Let's go out and not wait till we're dying, because we all are dying and they're dying. So let's go for it, right? And so we're going to spend a couple of minutes now just going to take time and pray for each other. That might not be your wingman next to you, but you can pray with them anyway. And let's just pray for each other that we'd have boldness in the coming weeks to go for it when opportunities arise. Okay, so let's stir it up. We'll take a couple, 3 or 4 minutes here and just pray. Just get with someone. Pray, and then when I say stop. As you finish up, let's all stand. And you know, today we've just given a little taste of things that we really are. This is just the way the Christian life is meant to be. It's meant to be shared. And sharing the good news about Jesus with others, praying together. These are things that are just part of the Christian life. I want to encourage you to take these things and not just do them here in the church, but to, you know, do them in life, do them with your connect groups. That's why we do the connect groups, is that you have people to encourage and to walk out with. As we do that, as we just follow Jesus, we'll begin to see growth in our lives. And so our prayer for you is this week as you go, that this week, God, you would just have green light, red light opportunities that you would just step into, and that, you know, just start where you're at. You may not be Peter to begin with, but if you just go ahead and engage a new person, just say hi to someone new, make a new friend. reach out to someone and connect. Look for opportunity for someone with a need and let them know that Jesus can meet their need. Just create these moments. Take that next step in boldness. And then our prayer for you is that you would see God. God's power would come and meet you in those moments and meet those people. We'll begin to see what they saw in the first century church, just the church becoming unstoppable. The good news about Jesus, that more and more this week would be a week of just God reminding you of all the good things that he's done. Amen. So it doesn't stop here, right? This is just saying, here's what you do. And now it's really to go and actually do it, right, in our lives. And that the Lord bless you. Go experience the good news about Jesus this week. All right, thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.